Marriage is the very foundation of human society. But it was God's idea to begin with. What is God's plan for your marriage? How can you know? What can you do to learn and grow with your spouse to honor God in your marriage? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this deeply personal and critically important topic in his teaching series, God's Plan for Marriage. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. I'm looking for some help, Bob, on who to endorse before Iowa. I want to throw my massive support, my block of support, behind the right person in Iowa.
If you want to support someone who is likely to win, you should just support Barack Obama and get it over with. Just get it over with.
Oh,
I mean, that's the Republicans who say you should support someone who's likely to win.
That's right.
Well, Hillary, Barack Obama.
Just get it over with.
Just, I mean, come on.
Well, I'm struggling. I'm struggling because the two best people in the race are lawyers.
Who, let me guess, Santorum?
Santorum and
Bachman. Michelle Bachman.
They're lawyers. Not that I...
They're probably the best. They, of course, have violated fundamental principles of justice in their careers.
Yes, they have.
But they have now recently signed the personhood pledge.
Right. So I'm encouraged.
Yeah, you do take people at their word at a certain level, not like Ron Paul, who signed the personhood pledge and contradicted it on the same day.
Yeah. I had to read that twice to actually
understand. Yeah, the pledge
says,
I will enforce the 14th Amendment for its personhood rights and protection for the unborn. Yeah. And he signs it and he says, and by the way, the 14th Amendment does not apply to babies in the womb.
Yeah.
If I was president and states wanted to rip their arms and legs off, I'd defend their right to kill those kids because I'm Ron Paul.
It was hard to find.
I was paraphrasing.
Yeah. Well, that was pretty good. It seems like it was written by a lawyer, for one thing. When I read the sentence where he said he would return the authority to the states to enforce.
Yeah.
And that, he said, would save thousands. Mm. So that's when the light went on in my head. Because when you say you're going to save thousands, you are implying that you're not going to insist on
saving them all. When millions are being slaughtered and he's going to save thousands. In Ron Paul's America, he would defend if all 50 states had abortion mills killing children so that we killed them by the millions, as we're doing now in Ron Paul's America, that would happen with his approval and policy because he says the states have the right to legalize child killing.
Yeah. That's,
yeah. So he's, I mean, you're not really qualified to be a full member of the human race.
Amen.
If you are defending child killing at any level of government.
Yeah.
When you say the states have the right to lynch blacks or gas Jews or dismember babies, you're not fully operating as a human being, let alone a leader who wants our support.
Right. You could hardly be called a civilized person if you're willing to let people get by with killing
babies.
Yeah,
and that's the thing about being against abortion without exceptions.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you're a great man. It means you're just barely human now.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
now you're just, I mean, it's civilization 101. You don't kill kids.
There are tattooed degenerates in Huntsville in Texas who wouldn't kill a baby.
Right.
You know.
Would not rip a baby's arm or leg off.
No, yeah, absolutely.
But Ron Paul says if California wants to slaughter kids, more power to them because I would support their right to do so. He's sick and pathetic.
It seems to me that he worships federalism over God.
Over God.
Although you did show me a quote on his website where he says he has accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
I believe. I'm paraphrasing.
Like George W. Bush.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to tell you what I like about Personhood USA's pledge above all the other pledges.
Yeah.
Now, I've been involved in conversations over the past 10 days or so with a number of good, solid, pro-life people.
Yeah.
Friends of personhood, friends of the unborn.
FOP.
These are...
yeah, friends of person.
FOPs. Yeah, I've talked to all these FOPs all the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
And Persons USA has been taking a little bit of heat from some of them because they disagree with the idea of putting the pledge out. Some of our friends
some
disagree.
Of our friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And it's an in-house friendly disagreement.
Yeah, right.
But it's a disagreement. But let me tell you what I like about Personhood USA's pledge above all other pledges, and there are some good ones out there. There are some good ones.
Yeah.
But only
like the raw milk pledge.
that raw milk
it's
pledge.
It's a good one.
Yes.
Ron Paul signed that right away.
Signed that online.
He had to twist his arm, and he contradicted himself to sign the personhood pledge.
But raw milk.
But there are some good pledges out there.
There are some good.
Like the one Newt signed, that I will not cheat on my current wife.
did he sign a pledge?
Yeah, he did. Some good pledges out there. But anyway...
I think he's taken that pledge. He's signed that. So I signed off on that like three times already. Don't you sign off on a pledge in front of the preacher when he declares your...
Newt said that he wasn't the one who wanted the divorce when his wife was dying.
Yeah.
Served her papers in a hospital room.
Yeah.
And CNN went and got the court records that had been sealed.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
I read that.
So Newt filed and his wife filed... saying she did not want the divorce.
Yeah.
Please don't grant the divorce. And she was interviewed years ago saying it was a shock to her when he filed for divorce.
Yeah.
I
have hoped in my heart that Newt Gingrich, being the most recently chastened politician,
yeah,
that he might be the one who is most reachable. Because he recently allegedly converted to Christianity.
He could be.
He could be.
Anybody. And you give people the benefit of the doubt. You really do.
Yeah.
When they say, I have had a change of heart, I know now that these are God-given rights. Of course, there should be no exceptions. Children are made in God's image and likeness. And I'm going to sign no exceptions. And I'll fight for personhood amendments and legislation, 14th Amendment, the whole bit. Well, then you believe him.
Yeah, well, you're willing to give them
benefit of the doubt, unless they then demonstrate that they were lying.
Right.
Then you hold them accountable.
Well, not if you're National Right to Life Committee, you don't.
Well, no, of course
not. You give them 100 or a 99% pro-life rating.
And you give them money.
Yeah, and you give them money. So yeah.
Who's National Right to Life? I haven't heard of those guys in like 4 years. Yeah. They've fallen off the face of the earth.
You have to look out into the wilderness.
Today, it's all American Right to Life, Colorado Absolutely. Right to Life, Missionaries to the Preborn, Personhood USA.
Georgia Right to Life.
Georgia Right to Life.
Iowa Right to Life.
That's where it's at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mississippi. That's where it's at.
If you want to see National Right to Life Committee, you have to go out into the wilderness where the bodies are falling.
Mm.
They're falling in the wilderness.
Yeah.
There won't be too many of them left. Now, we've digressed. I want to get back to why I like Personhood USA's pledge above all other pledges. Mm. And in talking to some of my Christian friends over this past week, they have given me their pledge. You know, well, I wish they would have said it this way. I would have done it this way. Here's our pledge that's been on our website for 5 years that anyone could have signed. So they're sending me these pledges, and they're a little, they're not angry or hateful, but they're upset that Personhood USA did it the way they did it. And they're telling me, here's how I would have done it, and here's how we should do it. But none of the other pledges start out with, I proclaim that every human being is created in the image and likeness of God. Now just stop right there.
Oh.
That line right there.
That is so great.
To get a politician to sign a pledge.
Yeah.
You've heard of Grover Norquist. He's gotten all these congressmen to sign this pledge that they won't raise tax.
Tax, yeah. Right.
And it's been fairly effective, at least in keeping those politicians in line.
Yeah.
And that's a pledge sworn before.
They just do deficit spending. But they don't raise taxes.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead. No, yeah, Grover Norquist, that's a good effort.
I'm not saying it's a good effort. I hadn't thought about it that way.
It is a good effort. It's a good effort. Republican presidents have raised social spending faster than Democratic presidents.
Yeah.
Throughout history, every administration.
Right.
We'll see if they ever get a chance again.
We'll see.
Another bite at the apple. So we'll see.
Grover Norquist has this pledge before men.
Yeah.
And it's at least prevented these politicians who are generally from liars and they're deceitful.
Yeah.
And they're willing to break their word. We know that.
Right. But it's worked.
It's worked to some degree.
To get them to not raise taxes.
So now Personhood USA has managed to get these politicians to sign a pledge. They're making a proclamation before God.
Yeah.
So I don't know that that's ever happened before, at least since like 1780. Yeah. You know, I don't know that
It is so good.
So the fact that this pledge begins by
like
really,
I, Rick Santorum, for example, and they have their signatures right on the Personhood USA website.
Oh, yeah.
You could see their signatures. They date it and they sign
it. Yeah, and they weren't allowed to e-sign it. They weren't allowed to fax over. They wanted a hard copy signature.
Yeah.
And they got it.
And so Rick Santorum, for example, proclaim that every human being is created in the image and likeness of God.
Wow.
That is so great.
So that's what all, you know, there's a lot of people in the pro-life movement who are upset that our politicians have not returned to the Fifth Amendment. They haven't returned to the 14th Amendment. They haven't returned to the Constitution.
They haven't reloaded to the Second Amendment. So, right.
But the reason that none of that matters is because they haven't yet returned to God. If the only way you're going to stop rampant bloodshed and murder and immorality in the country is not through the Constitution, that's not where the answer is. It's returning them to God. And I thought it was wonderful that Personhood USA
did this,
just brought the idea of God to these poor people.
And it's biblical.
Yeah.
I mean, even the wording, the image and likeness of God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, he is the one who made us in this way. And there's a difference between the image and the likeness, of course. Mm. And that's at American Right to Life's website. You just click on Bible.
Yeah.
And then click on Made in God's Image. And you'll see the difference between the image. There's a reason. That's not just an unneeded redundancy.
Yeah.
There's the image of God and the likeness of God. Likeness is that we're free moral agents.
Mm.
Should we leave the image as something for the student to research?
We'll tease that. Well, this
research.
That's actually a good litmus test. If you have a politician sign this and he asks, well, what do you mean by the image and likeness? Right away, you know, okay, I like this guy.
Yeah.
At least he wants to investigate this.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But I probably would have written something a little different had I done this.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Like if
I
you get three-fifths of your constituents to agree, wouldn't you have the courage to?
Well, no.
This is just truth.
I certainly wouldn't have done it.
No, I know you wouldn't.
But talking about our pro-life friends who have issues with what Personhood USA has done here, they did it. Mm. I mean, we all have these wonderful, brilliant, big ideas, but I never could get Newt Gingrich or Rick Santorum to return my calls. But these guys,
Personhood USA did it.
They did it.
They did it.
And I don't think they did anything immoral here. Yes, I wouldn't
fabulous.
I would have used some different adjectives and some of the adverbs I strongly disagree with.
Oh, adverbs? You disagree?
Some of the adverbs are just completely...
Adverbs? Adverbs are like adjectives with an L-Y on the end, right?
And some of the adverbs...
What do you have against adverbs?
Some of the adverbs here I have significant issues with, but the overall intent of the pledge I support.
All right. Well, I didn't see a single adverb in there that bothered me, like to properly protect the right to life.
Properly. Well, since
I was
being completely facetious. So actually, I support not only the adverbs and the adjectives, but I also support all the conjunctions.
Like intentionally. How about the prepositional phrases?
You know, some of them could have been tightened up a little bit. Well, they didn't end any sentences with a preposition, so that's good.
Well, that is a practice up with which I shall not put.
Okay. Golly. Anyway, right. I support the pledge, and I support these other pledges, and these people are doing good work, but this is...
Doug, when some of our friends who objected to this, what they could consider is one of the standards we use here at Bobbin Yurt Live. We try to always remember the difference between principles and... tactics.
Amen. Amen.
It's not a principle that you can violate or not to get someone to sign a pledge to do the right thing. That's not a principle. That's a tactic.
Right. The pledge is a tactical maneuver.
It's a tactical maneuver, and there are principles that are expressed in the pledge. So if you could get a wicked person to say, I will never again sell crack cocaine to kids, right? Well, that would be a tactic. And that's not inherently immoral. If the pledge was inherently immoral, if you were pledging to do something immoral, like I will only fund the abortion of children whose fathers are rapists, well, that would be immoral.
Right.
So I try to remember the cross, the vertical beam of the cross and the horizontal beam.
Well, now explain that to me, because that's a new one on me.
To me, this is a metaphor. It's a visual metaphor where the horizontal beam of the cross is like the latitude that God gives us for using creativity in our own strategy and tactics. Whereas the vertical beam represents the morality in the truth that he has revealed, and there is no latitude whatsoever regarding morality and truth. But there is plenty of latitude regarding tactics.
Right.
And so I ask God to help me, Lord, help me not confront and criticize believers because I don't prefer their tactics.
Right.
Help me confront them only when I have to, when I'm dealing with fundamental morality that they are undermining or contradicting.
Well, amen. I think that's a good rule.
Yeah, so person at USA, I think more power to them.
Well, and I told my brothers, I told them, I said, look, you are not going to change my mind on supporting Personhood USA and their pledge. Now, the leadership at Personhood USA may change my mind because the onus is on them. Personhood USA now has thrown down the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And if these politicians are allowed to say one thing and do another, and Personhood USA doesn't publicly rebuke and confront these
people. And
they're
already doing that. I mean, I was so impressed. I was reading in the Huffington Post.
Oh, you were.
Well, I can't stand.
That's your homepage?
Townhall.com. You know? So I was reading in the Huffington Post, and on the front page, Doug, the front page, they have the headline. This is on their front page.
Okay.
Headline, Personhood USA questions Ron Paul's pro-life credentials.
Wow.
And so Personhood USA releases a press release saying, you know, Ron Paul is contradicting himself. What could he possibly mean that he would defend the right of states to kill kids?
Yeah.
Come on, Ron Paul. That's not pro-life. Mm. So he signed a pledge, and he then immediately violated it. Immediately.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's a hypocrite. And Ron Paul is like a blank slate that his supporters, they project their own goals and desires onto Ron Paul.
Wow.
He says, hey, states' rights. So people who are pro-life think Ron Paul's pro-life.
Yeah.
People who are pro-aborts who live in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, California, they think, well, Ron Paul's pro-choice because he says as long as our state is pro-choice, we can have abortion.
Yeah.
And so that's not an example of a statesman or a leader. That's an example of a political opportunist who will lie to pro-life or sign a pledge and then immediately violate it and say, I will not uphold the 14th Amendment regarding the killing of children when the pledge explicitly states that I will support the 14th Amendment in its protection of the unborn.
Wow. Wow. On the Huffington Post.
Yeah.
So that's the homepage of all the leftist deviants and our adversaries.
Yeah, and that's way easier to read than, say, Newsmax.
I'm with you there.
I just can't read these faux conservative sites.
Well, you know, I think that a lot of genuine conservatives, genuine Christians, are being driven to almost a state of mental illness by the lack of any leadership in the Republican Party, in the Democrat Party, just the overall political system has become so corrupt that a guy like Ron Paul can come along and, like you say, allow people to project what they want to believe about him just because he's different and he's from outside of the...
And when Greg Jackson and I call it I Roll Radio.
Yeah.
Like Sean Hannity, Hugh Hewitt.
Limbaugh.
Yeah.
Except when Mark Stein's on. That's...
Where, I mean, give me NPR. Nauseously pathetic radio. Give me NPR. I could listen to that because they're just honest about being child-killing sodomites.
Right.
And so you find out what your enemy's up to.
Mm.
But I just can't take Sean Hannity saying, you know, we just have to bite the bullet. And, you know, Romney, you don't like what Romney did about homosexual marriage and tax-funded abortion. Look, just we can't have another 4 years of Barack Obama.
The boogeyman.
The boogeyman.
It'll be terrible.
It's the boogeyman syndrome.
Yeah.
Sean Hannity is an adult, and he's afraid of the boogeyman.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, can we just keep pounding on Ron Paul for just a couple more minutes? Because I really enjoy it.
It's,
anyway, that 40, I just read, and I don't know if it still applies, 40% of voters in Iowa say they have not made up their mind. So that means there's enough people who haven't made up their mind that could give it to one guy.
Yeah. Steve Dace is going to endorse.
On the day before the caucus.
January 2nd.
Yeah. Boy. Anyway, so, you know, Ron Paul is surging right now in Iowa, allegedly, as far as we know, what we hear in the polls.
Isn't he too old to surge?
He's 76, by the way. I thought he was 78. I apologize.
He looks 78.
He's 76,
he's only 76.
Years old. Yeah, 76 years old.
All right.
And I've got a report here from our good friend Joseph Farah over at WorldNet Daily. A gentleman named Eric Dondero, a one-time congressional staffer for Ron Paul. What exactly is a staffer? Do we have an expert who might?
Staffer is a visitor to Capitol Hill who caught an STD. That's a staffer. Got a staff infection.
All right. Mr. Dondero was a one-time staffer.
Oh, he's not. Oh, this isn't. Never mind. This isn't one of those staffers.
Well, we don't think
this
so.
This is just a regular
this
staffer.
This is a regular staffer. He's speaking out about Ron Paul's attitude toward the state of Israel.
This former page.
I don't think he was a page.
Okay. He's what? Just an adult staffer.
I'm not sure what a staffer would. Do you have any staffers?
We have all kinds of fobs.
No, no. I think a staffer is someone who's on the payroll but doesn't actually work. All the people around here have things they have to do every day, but a staffer, they're just on the staff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, former congressional staffer Eric Dondero, who the Paul campaign, they call him a disgruntled former employee. Mm.
So whatever he has to say,
we have
they're
to
trying to
a,
distance themselves.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah. And he says Ron Paul is not an anti-Semite. That's how he starts out.
All right. Now, that doesn't sound disgruntled.
No, no. But he does say this. He says he is, however, most certainly anti-Israel and anti-Israeli in general. In my opinion, Ron Paul wishes the state of Israel did not exist at all.
Yeah, that's why he prefers to side with the Ayatollah.
Yeah.
That's why he prefers to side with Khomeini.
Yeah.
Right. He's a blame Israel first. Blame America second kind of guy.
that pretty much
and
says
so
it.
When there are Islamic terrorists who want to kill Jews or Americans, he blames the victim.
Yeah, let's hear their side of the story.
Right. He blames the victim.
Yeah.
And that's fundamentally irresponsible, whether it's a sex crime or whether it's a terrorist attack. You don't blame the victim. And even when the victim did something wrong, you don't choose the moment of an attack to talk about what the victim does wrong.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, that was like bringing up the fact during the O.J. Simpson trial that perhaps his ex-wife, Nicole...
was immoral.
Nicole Brown was perhaps sleeping around. That's just, it's irrelevant to the case.
Right. Yeah. When O.J. Simpson kills her and Ron Goldman cuts their heads off.
Yeah.
You just, right.
Yeah, whether or not there was a relationship with the guy who got his head cut off, that's really immaterial anyway. Yeah. But Ron Paul, this fella says Ron is, he's okay with American Jews, but he has a problem with the state of Israel and Israelis. Hmm. I wonder why that is.
American Jews donate more to political candidates than do Israeli Jews.
That could very well. Now, I think to assert that a state like Iran or North Korea even has a right to exist, I believe, disqualifies you from politics. If you don't understand that the government of North Korea does not have a right to exist, they exist strictly through fear, murder, coercion, theft. They don't have a right to exist. They're not equal. They shouldn't be considered
not
equal,
equal
with us.
With America.
No way.
Well, right. A communist government should be destroyed. A government that's involved in systematic genocide should be destroyed. So in Iraq, You know, the French were upset that we went into Iraq. Saddam Hussein was systematically slaughtering tens of thousands of his own people, Kurds up in the north, Iraqis, just slaughtering them, Muslims. And the French were upset. And we said at the time, Doug, you and I both, that if, forget Baghdad, if the French started to commit genocide, we'd invade Paris. Forget Iraq.
I hope we would.
So what it turns out that the French people didn't love the Iraqi people. They just didn't care if hundreds of thousands were slaughtered by a dictator. They didn't care.
Okay.
And, yeah.
All right, I'm going to try to trip you up.
All right.
What about America and the systematic murder of 50
million? We have the
same
thing. And the nations in the world that don't care that we slaughter children, they're evil for their apathy. We're evil for the bloodshed.
But should
we
be
destroyed? So we're guilty also.
Should we be destroyed?
Well, yeah. If there were a righteous nation that had the ability, sure. Our government should be punished just as every other genocidal government should.
Wow.
However, individuals do not have the right. Thomas Jefferson got it completely wrong.
What?
Individuals don't have the right to armed revolution.
Mm.
That is unbiblical. That's false. You don't have the right to take a gun and go kill governing officials.
No.
You just don't have the right to take a gun and go kill the police, the judges, not even the defense attorneys.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, not you're very even-handed. And I would say that what you just said, should America be destroyed? I think what you're giving is a warning because inevitably, if we continue down this path.
One day, God will.
One day, we will.
Or he'd have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
You have to raise them up.
One day, God will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's a warning.
Yeah.
That's a warning, not a threat.
Well, of course. Right.
And they should take it seriously.
All right.
I can't do
We're out of time,
Doug. I can't do any more of this
Half
news
of a story.
Because it's too depressing.
Half of a headline.
Half of a headline? There was a rumor at the Mall of America that rappers Lil Wayne and Drake were visiting the mall. Are you familiar with Lil Wayne?
Never heard the name.
Drake?
No.
Do you have your iPod on?
You know, you could be number one on the charts.
Yeah.
Whatever the charts are, no one knows anymore.
Yeah.
You could be number one on the charts and top of the Billboard.
Yeah.
And the majority of Americans never even heard your name. Do you know that?
Yeah, it's true.
Things have changed so much from when normal people grew up.
Yeah.
No, I'm only kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Anyway, there was a rumor at the Mall of America that Lil Wayne and Drake were there, so naturally violence erupted and about 200 young people were involved in fist fights and the police had to arrest dozens of people.
Why would they? If a celebrity, if somebody you admired...
Yeah.
Showed up. If Tim Tebow was at the mall.
Yeah. Tim Tebow's at the Foot Locker.
At the Orange Crush shop.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't feel like punching the guy next to me.
No.
I don't get it.
Go jump the security guard.
I'll tell you. Civilization's gone insane. That's
KGov.com. God bless you.
Children are a blessing from God. But when parents reject and ignore his wisdom and teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.